Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
Okay, welcome to Cash Flows. We have high hopes. We're glad you're here. Today, I'm your host. My name's Cash Matthews, and this show is designed for that person looking to take the next step in life, business, entrepreneurship, or just making their house a little bit better place to live. And we're very glad you're here. Our philosophy is one of fire, aim, ready. And, you know, we like to talk to people that are out kind of doing the thing, but maybe need a leg up to take the next step. And, you know, and we've got a studio guest today, Chase Chapman. We'll introduce him completely in a moment. But one of the things that we've learned in life is that copying off of your neighbor, especially when it comes to things that require, you know, a little extra effort, success, this mystical, mythical thing called success. We found that it's okay to copy off your neighbors. It's not okay in the third grade to copy off your buddy when it comes to math. Maybe that happened. I'm not admitting anything. But, you know, it's okay as an adult to copy off of somebody who does the things you want to do or has the things you want to do. And it's completely moral, ethical, and honestly, it's a really good idea. We call that fire, aim, ready. And if you've been stuck in the mud, don't know what the next step is to take, you're going to love this show. Welcome to Cash Flows. And before we go any further, let me introduce the executive producer of our show, Mr. Kenneth Bauckham. Kenneth, say hello.
Hello.
Well, there you go. Okay. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
I like small goals.
That's right. We check that off the list and move on to the next one.
Yeah. So,
which is our little bit of daily wisdom we kick off the podcast with, right?
Yeah, we do. So we assume it's wisdom.
Well, that's the goal. That's
one guy
goal.
Said, man, you put the dumb in wisdom. I'm like, huh? Yeah.
Wow.
But we like to offer a little nugget, you know, to the people listening. We serve the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group and all entrepreneurs around the United States. And we like to just give them a little cheat sheet on life. And in a little bit, Chase Chapman will give you a golden nugget for business at the end of our show. But I'm going to just talk a little bit about this concept called budgeting. And, you know, I've worked with entrepreneurs for over 40 years, and I love it when somebody starts a business. It is one of my favorite things, and I love to see it start, you know, from that first moment where, you know, I think I'd like to start a business of some sort, whether it's carpet cleaning or finance or photography. There's a moment where you go, you know, I would like to see if I can turn this into revenue. Then that first bit of revenue shows up because your Aunt Edna needed what you do.
Right.
Well, here's the question. What do you do with the money? How do you park that money? How do you apportion it? What do you say about it? And we call that budgeting. You know, what do you do with the money you make? How do you forecast the money you need? And when you get a dollar comes in, here's the big question, who does it belong to? And I think a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck in this idea that, you know, the first 100 grand they make belongs to them. When in fact, you know, that may not be completely the case. Obviously, you want as much of it as possible to belong to you. We offer this really as a data point of things for you to know. We don't always answer that question here on Cash Flows, but we do invite you to come and visit with us. And so you can email us at cashflows@tulsabong.com. Cashflows@tulsabong.com if you'd like to visit with us more about a topic or complain or any of that kind of stuff. We love complainers.
Yeah.
I think some people look for fault as though there's a reward in it.
Right.
And I was thinking about that. I was down at the park by my house the other day, and there are no statues of critics in it.
Is that right?
Yeah, they don't make statues for critics.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we love you. Glad you're here. And Kenneth, thank you for, you know, that's a good tip. We all need to know about budgeting.
Yeah.
What to do with the money we have, how to forecast the money we need, and how to go out and get it. And with that, I want to introduce you to one of my favorite people in all of the Tulsa area, and somebody we have a great relationship with, and a man of many talents, but focused on one right now. Say hello to Chase Chapman. Chase, hello.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
We are glad you're here. We are excited about this show. You and I have actually become friends through all this, so it's weird when you have a friend on the show. You know, you get to behave a little differently. Chase is the founder of Blue Dog Carpet Cleaning. That's dog like puppy, not dog like dot, but Blue Dog Woof, BlueDogCarpetCleaning.com. And you can find Chase Chapman on the old Facebook and also in the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group. If you want to get to know him, I would recommend it. And right now, when we say the word carpet cleaning, I think everybody knows what you do.
Sure,
clean carpet.
That's right, yes. Blue Dog Carpet Cleaning serves residential and commercial clients. It's basically what you would expect. A lot of great customer service and clean carpets.
That's it.
And deodorization.
It's pretty basic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, okay, enough about that. Now we're going to talk about you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the most interesting story. We like to talk to entrepreneurs about who they are, the path that they've been on, how they run their business. You know, I mean, I think our listeners, we have people that are in the carpet cleaning business watching as soon as this thing airs. They want to find out, how did you make it? And how did you overcome this? Because here's what I know. There are people out in the world facing the same thing you're facing.
Sure.
And if we can collaborate as a community, Kenneth, then I think we have a winner in what the purpose of this podcast and the purpose of our business lives is you know, help each other out.
Right, right.
So I want to start with your relationship with this Bong Group.
Oh, yeah.
That you have helped develop.
Oh, thank you.
That you've been a big part of. And for those that don't know and wonder who deletes all your posts.
Hello.
Hey.
I would like for you to meet, we call him the Ban Hammer.
Oh, yes. Well, somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to take him down a notch. But you're one of the moderators and developers of the Business Owners Networking Group. I know you come from a family of entrepreneur. Like, your mother is very great in the Glenpool Chamber of Commerce and developing that community. And like mother, like son, you've done such a great job here in the Tulsa area. Talk to us about your relationship with the Bong before we get in too far.
Oh, man. So I joined the Bong. Maybe it's been a year and a half now.
Yeah, I think you're right at 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done a lot of networking. And so I had a little bit of background with networking before I came and joined the group.
Right.
A lot of the times I felt like the networking was I was a square peg. It was a round hole. I was trying to make it work, sort of fitting their mold. And at times it can feel forced.
Yeah.
But some things are like that in business. You just got to do it to figure it out. And you have to go through those steps to learn.
Right.
So after about 7 years, so Blue Dog Carpet Cleaning, by the way, has been around for 10 years. So it's got some longevity. We've had some time to try some things out and fail and screw up and go up in flames and do well. But when I found you and the Bong and the great things that you've done with the Bong, the thing that really struck me was the values.
Right.
Friendship is the main value.
That's our main value. That's
it. You know, be friends. Do things that make sense.
Right.
You know, you'd think you wouldn't have to say that, but the Bong is great because the values are to make friends, be a good person. And when people are not, then they don't get to hang out anymore.
Yeah.
Which is
kicked out of the sandbox.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to play anymore. Yeah. And it really just cultivates a great environment of people who are in it for the right reasons.
Right.
And also, there are a lot of great entrepreneurs in the group.
Oh, yeah.
That we can learn from. So I believe that if we hang around with people who are kind of making it or not quite making it, always kind of struggling, not quite able to make an income, and we can be helpful. But for us in our circle, our inner circle needs to be people at our level or hopefully a little bit better.
Right.
And they drag you up. You get to be the dead weight.
That's a great description, though, because, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of entrepreneurs don't know how to entrepreneur very well.
It's hard.
And, you know, you come to a group that's established. And I think the great thing about the group, it's not established by one. Like, everybody's established it. Everybody has that ethos about let's make friends. And it may have started with one, but the next 3 or 10 or 20 – they had that ethos as well, and it's just about connecting with like-minded people who like each other or are on the path to it, because I didn't know you the day I met you.
Right.
But I completely trust you, know you, like you, and have traveled with you. And,
That's
when we're both busy, but when we have a chance, we get face-to-face And I'd like more of that if I could just say that on the record. I don't know why you're avoiding me.
Not at all.
You have a young child, I understand. But I don't know, this networking thing has been fascinating for me. And you have been such a big part of it, both as a, you know, somebody to help actually physically build the group by being, you know, the gatekeeper and one of seven gatekeepers who help keep the group going in the right direction. And, you know, you're somebody that I've bounced things off of continually. Hey, we have a guy selling flamethrowers. Mm-hmm. You know, should we get him out of the group?
Right.
And you've always been very kind. And, you know, I think we have level-headed people here.
Yeah.
Which is a shock.
I think that's kind of the point of having vetted members, though, too.
Yeah, right.
Is they're fairly right. level-headed.
Well, if you know, we have 50. We're going on 59. Sunday was 5,700. Yesterday was 5,800. We're hurtling towards 5,900. But if you saw the band list, not the people that are in band, the flutist,
right.
the trombone guy,
right.
But the people that we don't let in the group because
right.
we're filling it with people. Number one, that are from our area, and we don't mm-hmm. let people in from our area. What do you think about that? Because I've got a lot of grief over the area piece. What do you think about that?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Well, one of the ways that people in the Bong group associate me, you know, we've talked about me being a moderator and everything. But one of the things about me that people think of when they think of me in the Bong group are the events and stuff, especially
right.
the bowling event.
Right.
Before we started doing the bowling event, people thought I was in insurance. They thought I was an insurance sales guy. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just it couldn't be farther from what I do. And so we couldn't have a bowling event with people in the Philippines, as great a people as they might be. Mm-hmm. We need everyone who comes to the bowling event to be local. And it just makes business easier, and it keeps the money in town, and it builds our economy here.
Right.
And I can't go clean carpet in China. I can't send a crew, you know, can't do it. And also, we think of our business first when we think of these networking events, I think.
Right.
And
that's easy to do.
That's easy to do.
And that's okay.
But we're more than just our business. We're entrepreneurs, and things right. will change in the future because we're constantly, right. with agility, changing as the environment changes. And the environment has changed a lot over the last few years.
Right.
You may agree.
Oh, I do agree. Yeah.
So carpet cleaning, important, sure. It's the thing that I'm kind of focused on right now. But I also do real estate investment.
Right.
And I've been doing that for longer than carpet cleaning, the carpet cleaning business. I've been right. doing that for 13 years. And so if I need a contractor, it needs to be in town. Mm-hmm. If I want advice on that stuff, real estate, I can look to the group
right.
and find really smart people in the group who can help bridge right. the gap in my experience.
Right.
And so I love that too. So there's like the friendship, there's growing my business, and there's just general entrepreneurial growth.
Yeah.
And we can stagnate if we're just left alone to our own devices.
Amen.
So that's one of the things that I really like about it is it gives connection for all these different reasons.
So we want to, and you mentioned something great that's on our list to talk to you about. Because you've done some innovative things in networking. And, you know, we felt like the Bong was an innovative, different kind of place. And we wanted it to be a proving ground for ideas.
Right.
And you had an idea, hey, Cash, let's go put on a bowling event. And I went, yeah, go for it.
That was so funny.
I used the word let's very loosely. And you stepped up and had a relationship with a guy that owns a bowling alley and went to him and we created this event. And, you know, I've never thrown a bowling event, but now I've been part of two, and they are wildly successful. I'm trying to think of a better word, but you know, this thing you created, the Blue Dog carpet cleaning bowling event with Andy Bees. And you know, you put that on as an official bong event. And you did it, though. And you made sure that our community, and this is why that community question, you know, we don't ask that to everybody, but you're such a community guy. You wanted to make sure the community had a big door to walk through.
Right.
Talk about, well, I'm going to talk about the success of your events because, you know, you're humble. You may not, you may just go, yeah, that was pretty good. But first event, 225 or so people show up for free bowling, free shoes. I mean,
packed it.
It was jammed.
Shoulder to shoulder in a pretty big space.
In a pretty big space and lighted bowling lanes. I mean, what a phenomenal job you did. And what you did you took because a lot of people there, Chase, couldn't afford to be there.
Right.
And they're bringing families and kids, and we're one of the mm-hmm. kid-friendly networking ideas probably in the country. You know, can I bring my kids? Yeah. Do they live with you? I mean, are they, you know, yeah. And we just had this whole family, a couple hundred people, and I didn't think it could get any better than that until it got better than that. And you brought in some vendors for round two. And by my count, we had around 300 people,
right?
Like a 45% growth rate for meeting number one. And I walked in, I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, what a great event you were responsible for. Over 500 people in a two-event span come out, and they did the best thing they can do with each other, which is hang out and bowl and laugh and talk. And for those that wanted to buy food, they could, but we all got that thanks to you. I mean, has that had an impact? I mean, it has to impact your life.
Right.
Because you're a great dude.
Oh.
And you brought bowling to 500 people. And I don't know the dynamics behind the scene, but in our kind of deal, only you have to know the dynamics behind the scene. But I don't want to even ask that it work out for you, but did you enjoy that?
I love the bowling event, and I really appreciate everyone who takes time to put that on their schedule and come and hang out with us and bring their families and have an experiential event. And I also appreciate the vendors now. You know, the first event was just me.
Just you, man, the vendor.
Yeah. And brought in karaoke and everything, and the karaoke also does great. It's bowling and karaoke. I love the karaoke.
All right.
I remember the first event, I'd never thrown an event. I am not an event-throwing guy. And I go over to you probably remember this. Cash helps me so much. I go over to the karaoke, and I love karaoke. And I just mm-hmm. get sucked into the karaoke, and I'm singing and going crazy over there. And Cash comes over. He's like, you're the host. You're responsible for these people's happiness. I'm glad you're enjoying karaoke, but maybe go to a karaoke event. But now go around and talk to people and do this and this and this to make sure that they're having a good time and that they know who we are.
Right.
And what's mm-hmm. going on?
Yeah, and you deserve the right to go say, hey, we're Blue Dog Carpet Cleaning, mm-hmm. and we put this event on. We're glad you're here.
Right.
And I think you did that with every person there.
I did.
Yeah.
And time flew by.
Right.
And then I took that information, and I do this with a lot of your advice, by the way. Cash gives me a lot of advice, and it's kind of a rare thing, and I always try to follow it, and I always try to take it to the next step. So when we had vendors on the second event, Kenneth Bockham was there.
He was one of our first
vendors that signed up. Really got him on the radar for seems like all the right people.
Right.
Yeah.
And I did with Kenneth and all the vendors who would what Cash did for me. You probably remember this.
Yes.
I scheduled a one-to-one and I sat down with him. I'm like, this is what it's going to look like at the event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was kind of thinking, well, I'll go and I'll showcase my photography and I'll take pictures. And that makes perfect sense to think that way.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I took Cash's advice and I was like, man, don't take pictures. Go around and just like what I did in the first event, thank everyone for being there. Make sure they're having a great time. One time when I was doing that, I walked up to a group of people and I was like, are you having a great time? And they were just next on the list. And they were kind of standing around. I'm like, with kind of a concerned look on their face. When I got there, and I was like, hey, you guys having a good time? And looked around curiously. Their lane. Now, it's a state-of-the-art facility, and everything works great 99% of the time, but this was that one time that the lane malfunctioned.
Oh.
And so I took personal responsibility for their enjoyment and fun time and got somebody over there to fix it. Yeah. And it took like 30 seconds after I realized it was down. But
taking personal responsibility for the enjoyment of others in this experiential event. It's really rewarding. They really appreciate it. They're like, oh my goodness, you fixed it. I'm like, yes, I did. I know how to fix it.
You know, people come onto our page and talk a lot about, hey, who's good at social media marketing? And those are great questions, and we have some of those great people coming on the show. Mm-hmm. But I think there is just such an organic way when you get face-to-face marketing, handshake-to-handshake marketing. It requires a little bit larger group of people like the Bond Group is, but you know what you did was masterful, and I think that's something that anybody could copy. You know, so but we've had these events, Kenneth. We've had bowling, and we've had the fish fry, and we've got travel, and we've got
the golf.
Yeah, we've had two golf events. Those have gone really well. We had 77 at hockey. We took 20 to a football game. I mean, it. We took another 25 to a baseball game. Just
that is so fun to go to those.
Oh my gosh!
If you are watching this and you haven't quite made it out yet, go to one of the experiential events. Go to one of the events where everyone's going to be there. Just get out of your safety net. Get out of there. Go get in your car. Go to an event.
Go hang out. And it's even for me, it's a little daunting. Because at the last one, I got there a few minutes late. But I had, and I needed it that day.
Right.
You know, I still had my suit on. And I was coming from my dad's funeral.
I remember that.
And, you know, I had people going, you're still going to the event? I'm like, you know what? These are my people. And they're going to be people there that lift me up.
Right.
And I needed it. And it wasn't just a bowling event for this guy, man. It was a recovery event, and you know, because we're a physical group, man. Everybody hugs you and loves on you, and it's so nice that. But for me, that was a giant event, and not because of the number of people there. You were there, and Micah and Kenneth, and my
Chen
friends,
was there.
And Chen. Yeah, we just had so many. Golly, you know, that was a homecoming kind of thing.
I'm so glad that you enjoyed it. I thought about that day. Everything you had going on, and if you would have missed it, I would have totally understood, and I kind of expected you to.
Right.
But you still, you know, you came out because we're really friends. And our friends are really there.
And you had to be there, so I'm going to go where my friends are. And, you know, there's no perfect way to grieve a loss like that, but for me, it's with your people. And anyway, but that's what networking is all about, and you have been masterful with that. And we're all kind of learning as we go. You know, I got invited to speak as some networking guru at a thing.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, 100 people there. And I'm like, I don't even know why I'm here. I just like to hang out with people. But people came up and they said, well, what's one thing you would do? And I, well, you know, if I wanted to grow a business today from scratch, I would make sure that once a week I had a brand new couple that I barely knew, if at all, I would have them to my house for dinner.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of do that. You know, I have people to the house. And anyway, I just appreciate watching you, you know, kind of step your game up, if that's what we're calling it. But that those events were masterful. And to be able, I don't know what it cost you, don't want to know, but for you to be able to put yourself in front of over 500 people directly, shaking hands, kissing babies, and making friends, that's genius.
You know, and we really did make friends. There were people at both events that I hadn't met before the event.
Right.
Who I hang out with now.
Yeah.
I just had lunch with Mike Dupree yesterday.
Yeah. And brand new guy to the group 6 months in. Yeah.
And we met there and great connection. It's a lot of things like that in the Bond Group. When I joined the Bond Group, by the way, there were like 900 people.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the dynamic.
Those were the days.
Yeah, the dynamic has really changed.
Yes. I remember bragging about 900. Like, dude, we're going to hit 1,000.
Yeah, we're almost.
Yeah.
Four-figure membership.
Yeah, we're gaining on it. But, you know, here we are, 6,000 people probably next week, 1,000 visitors. Depending on how this podcast works, you know, probably 10,000 by July. And representing almost 30,000 unique individuals in the city of Tulsa.
Right.
And when you consider that the last mayor's election only was won with a total of 38,000 votes, all of a sudden the Bong's more than a networking group.
3,800?
No, 38,000.
38,000?
Yeah, to win the mayor in Tulsa took 38,000 votes.
Oh, okay.
And then our group by July will have be representing because there's a Hmong member, then spouse or significant other, and children. And that we represent over 30,000 people by then. It's kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah, and you're part of it. You helped do that.
I'm glad to be here.
So you're a community builder. And that's, you know, our moderators, Kenneth, have been community builders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never knew what that phrase meant. But for the purposes that we mean, it's been brilliant. So we want to learn about Blue Dog and you. And but thanks for spending some time talking about networking.
Yeah. Just one more thing about it, I guess. With the moderation of the group, what I try to do is visualize the values of the group and your values that you've shown through this whole process that I've observed. And I don't just go and delete everything willy-nilly. I try to just whack the things that are not within our values or things that don't add to the group.
Pretty much. And thank you. By the way, if I haven't said thank you for your time investment on that, thank you.
Because,
you know,
you get
somebody on the group and they're like an LSU fan in football. Yeah, they got to go. Sorry, Regina LeBlanc. That was for you.
Poor Regina.
All right, man. We sent her a client today.
She sent me a referral this morning.
My brother's house burned down last night.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible.
Well, yeah, it was a rental property, but it's in our neighborhood. And
it's in your neighborhood?
Yeah, and, you know, and I know we're completely off topic now, but, you know, at 1:30, my daughter calls me from upstairs. That's the new intercom system. Dad, I smell roasting marshmallows.
Oh, wow.
And I did, too. We got up, and it wasn't the house. And so we got in the car and drove around, and sure, there it was. I'm like, man, I think that's my brother's house.
Golly.
And it is. Mm-hmm. And so prayers for those people. Everybody got out okay.
Oh, it was rented out?
Yeah, he owns investment property and wanted to buy a couple near me so that I could do it for him.
Yeah. And, what a plan.
Sounds like I just got a new
Take
job.
Notes.
Well, so I want to know, because your background and experience is in, you know, regulatory venues.
Right.
And how do you go from working in the regulatory industry, you know, where you have to wear a suit and you know,
day.
Hold your pinky right when you drink your bottle of gin. Or, you know, how do you
right?
How do you roll from that to this Chase Chapman, who I adore, who cleans carpets? What's that transition like? Why carpet cleaning?
Why carpet cleaning? Indeed, I get asked this probably more than anything else from the people who know me. I went to college. I went to Wichita State. I have a
Shockers.
Shocks. I've got an accounting degree there. I did accounting and federal examinations for the Treasury Department for 8 years. So I was an IRS agent, I'll just say it. But I wasn't a tax agent. I was a ERISA civil rights type examiner, sort of like Department of Labor. Still not going to be a favorite for everyone who watches the show, but I just thought that there needed to be consequences whenever people's retirement accounts had fraud or the money wasn't there for some reason.
Right.
We had somebody buy a diamond with it. That's not allowed. And things like that. I believed that that work helped to safeguard the economy because in your business, you know, retirement planning.
Right.
You know, if you plan your whole life to retire and you've got some money set back and it's not there for some reason.
Yeah.
There need to be consequences for that.
Yeah, and we don't need hanky-panky in that industry. We need trust and safety, and thanks for bringing that.
Yeah. So with all the great work you do with your advisors financially, we need to make sure that the people who are in charge of it do the right thing. So that's kind of what I was doing for 8 years, and I think it's a great occupation. I learned a lot being in government. Makes watching the news a lot different now, different perspective.
Right, behind the scenes.
But all that time at Wichita State, there was an entrepreneurship course, and I took it, and it was always in the back of my mind. And then I always saw entrepreneurs buzzing about on their own initiative.
Right.
No one telling them what to do, driving big, cool trucks and stuff. And in the back of my mind, it was something that interested me.
Yeah.
And I started doing real estate investing, but that's pretty passive. And when you work for the government, they're really kind of watching you.
Right.
If you're in the newspaper, they're looking at it. I mean, you can feel it. And also here in Tulsa, so that was in Des Moines, Iowa. Here in Tulsa, my sister and her husband started having a family. And so I tried to get transferred and it didn't work out. And I decided I don't need permission. And so how can I transition to Tulsa?
Right.
And my mom had moved here, like you mentioned. She's the Glenpool Chamber of Commerce director.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's super cool. Yeah, super
one,
cool.
One of our favorites.
So I needed to move. The accounting, I can do it. I was good at it. I did a great job. Not that interested in accounting. It's not my best strength. It's not the best use for my personality. And in fact, about 8 years, 7 or 8 years, accountants realize if they want to do it or not, they stay the rest of their lives or they right. stop at that time. And right. that's perfectly natural. And I just stopped. And so I couldn't do financial services after that
right.
because I actually started Blue Dog while I was still with the government.
Okay.
And so it's largely automated. So if you're taking notes here about what you want to do with your carpet cleaning company, it's hugely automated. Right. I had two 15-minute breaks and a 30-minute break in my workday with the government. And
your lunch hour was 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of funny that your lunch hour was 30 minutes.
My lunch hour is 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Welcome yeah. to the government.
Yeah, welcome to government.
We're Matt. Here to help. So that was really important to me. I think a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm with the government. I'll just, you know, work on my other job too at the same time. But I didn't do that. I respected the time that they had paid for. And then I went and I found ways to run the company through automation and crews right. while I was at work. So if they had an emergency, they couldn't get a hold of me at that time in the first
right.
year.
Right.
So I've got online booking. I've got tech systems that you can adjust your payment, make your payments on and all sorts of stuff. So I liked that and I couldn't, my whole background was financial.
Right.
And so I couldn't have a conflict of interest. So that was one of the reasons that I picked carpet cleaning. Also because it's based in trucks. It's not mm-hmm. like a shop.
Right. Right.
So when I wanted to move and see my family here and move here and relocate, I wasn't moving a shop. I was just driving trucks here.
Right.
And I had jobs the very next day because of how Blue Dog works.
Right.
I could just point.
Because of the automation and the systems.
The automation and the systems were so honed that I could point it at Des Moines, Iowa, or I could point it at Tulsa.
Got it. Mm.
And so I just pointed it at Tulsa, all those systems. And the very next day we had online bookings and appointments. And that's without
wow.
that's without being on the phone too much. People are like, you need to do great customer service on the phone, and this is crucial. And I do think it's important to have great, do well on the phone. It's not 100% necessary, though, if you can't do it. If you've got a second job and you're transitioning into entrepreneurship and you're like, gosh, I need to run and get this call when you're working for someone else, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't compromise your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else bought those hours. It's like going to the gas station
right.
and buying a soda and not getting your soda.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to give them your soda.
Yeah. Yeah right. They paid for it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
Kenneth has something to say and wants to
sure.
say thank you to one of our wonderful sponsors. Kenneth, what say you today?
All right, let's do it. Let's talk about our friends over at CM Customs. Embark on a journey into the realm of affordable custom gifting and branded excellence with CM Customs. From custom trophies to personalized closing gifts, lake maps, drinkware, and professional branding items, we're your go-to for unmatched customization, making you the hero of every occasion. Learn more at shopcmcustoms.com.
Wow, what a guy.
What a guy, man. Thank you to Clarence Shaw at CM Customs for your sponsorship and friendship, more importantly.
Mm-hmm.
And we are here today with Chase Chapman. Chase can be found at Blue Dog, not cat, BlueDogCarpetCleaning.com. You know, and one of the best feelings in the world is when your carpet's clean. When your house is clean, your carpet's clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because carpet kind of, it's a sponge for dirt. It's a dirt sponge.
Yeah, it's definitely a filter.
Yeah.
And gravity helps fill it up with crap.
Yeah, stuff.
Stuff.
You can say crap on
can we say crap?
Yeah.
And things.
Well, it's because it's a type of music also. We call it C-rap.
Mm.
And no?
Well, no, if it's really okay in the post-editing, if
yeah.
there's a beep there.
Yeah,
in
that's
post,
right.
in post I'll be silent. So thank you for that. So talk about your daily routines, running your business. I know you've got a lot going on. You're a dad. You're a husband. You're a buddy. You're a bowling putter honor event guy. And but I mean, what are your daily routines? How do you habitually win?
I don't habitually win. Anyone who says that they do,
they probably missed it.
They have their ups and downs, especially entrepreneurship. That's one thing about it, is you have your ups and downs for sure. But I'm doing okay. We used to live in the super, super hood, and now we've got a much more comfortable living environment. So, I mean, you know, things are going good.
You were living in the hood when you moved here?
Before I moved here, we were living in the hood.
Oh, I get it.
And then we moved here, and we moved into a place that we didn't realize was rough.
Oh.
And then we bought, yeah.
Now you're in good shape.
Yeah.
From the hood to doing good.
Yes. Now I can sit on my back porch and look at a pond, and
wow,
that's the American dream.
That's a good place to ponder.
That's
I do. That was funny. So fast with the puns. Okay, what do I do with my daily routines? I use Google Calendar a lot, and I block time. And a lot of the times in the group with new members, they don't understand how important the Google Calendar is.
Yeah.
Whenever we set up a one-to-one, we always send each other as a courtesy an invite to help block time. Mm-hmm. But those aren't the only things on my Google Calendar. I block time for hanging out with my friends, hanging out with my wife.
Right. Yep.
There was a spot on my calendar this morning to call Regina because yesterday I wasn't able to call her, and so I needed to remember. And I use my calendar even for reminders like that. Daily routines. I check that calendar before I go to bed so I can prepare myself for the next day.
Right.
That's crucial. If you are someone who is missing a bunch of appointments, I think that...
That's a struggle.
Yeah. And you're like, why? How could I be missing these? Check your calendar before you go to bed. Routines. Knowing your margins and estimating profitability incrementally as you go through your work.
Right.
That can be a daily process. You don't have to be super meticulous and take hours doing it, but you need to know where you make your money.
Yeah, and you gotta know the numbers.
And you gotta know when you're spinning your wheels.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you profitable?
Right. Are we working to work, or are we
actually I'm losing $3 a unit, but I'm making it up in volume.
Right.
Right. And there are people out there like that.
Yeah. And you might be like that even if you were making $20 a unit. Things can change. The environment that you work in can change, and you need to have agility to change with it and not just assume that you're just going to smooth sailing the same way forever, because that's not how entrepreneurship is. I think one of my daily routines is trying to find a way to enjoy every day in every way. And if there's some way to just push the needle a little bit more into your daily enjoyment, do it. I used to drive. So where we bought our place is a little bit, it's like 30 minutes out of town, which is crazy for people from Tulsa.
Right.
People in Des Moines will drive 45 minutes, no problem.
Right.
Here it's like, that's 4 minutes longer than I expected. I'm not going to go. well, I was driving a work van that 30 minutes, and it's an hour round trip. And I wasn't enjoying it. The seat wasn't comfortable. The seat was not comfortable, and it was impacting my life. And so during the pandemic, you know, work trucks value went way up. I sold that work truck. Luxury cars, the price, fair market value went way down.
Right.
Saved like $5,000, got a luxury hybrid. I really enjoy my drive now. I listen to my books. People are like, oh, that drive, how can you do it? Well, I love my books and I love my music, and I can just settle myself in that drive now instead of, my butt is numb, which takes away from my daily enjoyment.
I want to interject right there, because you said that was a moment of brilliance right there. When you drive, you're listening to something of value.
Right.
You're not listening to talk radio or sports, but you're listening to a book or a podcast, presumably, or something to increase your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always amazing to me, oh, I don't have time. Well, they don't take the time. Morpheus said in The Matrix, if you don't take the time, how will you make the time? And so you're taking this moment of driving, something you have to do, and you're turning it into what we call Drive Time University, where you can learn a new language, craft, skill, and Drive Time University is brilliant. Yeah. You know, that's something I've done for many, many years, and to know that you're doing it does not surprise me, but super glad you're doing it. That's a leadership thing, dude.
Thank you for saying that. And another thing about what you just said is kind of funny. You know, Morpheus in that movie, we all know who that is. Remember where he started out. He was Cowboy Curtis on Pee Wee Herman.
Right.
We all got to start somewhere, and it's not the top. It's not starting at Morpheus.
Right.
And if we compare ourselves to Morpheus, that's hard. If we compare ourselves to Cowboy Curtis. Well, I don't know if I could do that either, but.
Cowboy Curtis was a good gig.
Really was.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That
but so is Morpheus, and that's my favorite business movie of all time. Red Pill, Blue Pill. It's about the choices we make and how we perceive our reality. And I think we should ask that question to everybody that shows, what's your favorite business movie named The Matrix? And
well, and Neo in that movie could have chose complacency and comfort and just kept going with his life the way it was and never be satisfied.
Yeah.
But instead, he disrupted his life and changed everything and dove into it.
Yeah, I still dig that movie today. I love
it. Such a great movie.
Yeah.
You know, I when I first moved here, there was like a young guy, and I was talking to him, and I was like, oh, it's like The Matrix movie. He's like, you mean that old movie?
Ooh.
What?
Rude.
The Matrix?
It just came out.
I know.
Like what? A week ago? I don't know. I've seen it 50 times.
I guess it's not just come out, but it's a great movie. Everyone should. So another, just finishing up my daily routines, I use a physical notepad.
Yeah.
Because we can get so distracted by our phones and stuff. And also, if you get your phone out, the person on the other side of the table, you know, you're not as connected at that time.
Yeah.
And they might get their phone out.
Right.
And then we've got these great industries that are focusing on taking our attention, and they're good at it.
Right.
And that's not where I want to be. So I use notepads because they always boot. And when you're done with that page, you can tear it out and throw it away. I like that.
Well, let's move on from that topic, because I want to talk about running a business, because I know it can be stressful.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is for everybody. And I think that's what toughens you up. You know, if you're in an entrepreneurial endeavor, something's going to happen. It's not going to go the way you think, or something's going to come out of left field, or a flying monkey with a flaming arrow is going to shoot you in the forehead.
It's a risk.
And you kind of have to go, oh, man, what just happened? How do you? I mean, because you had this career with the government, which is, it's fairly predictable, and now you're an entrepreneur, which is completely not predictable. You know, how do you handle the stress of just, and you have a child and a wife and a life, and, you know, how do you handle all the stress and the, you know, I mean, you have to be pretty flexible. Talk about how you handle, I don't like the word problems.
Right.
Challenges. How do you handle challenges or failure, or I don't even like that word failure. But
we all fail.
Yeah.
We fail at some point. Even the ones who look like they're doing so well.
Right.
The point is not to avoid failure. The point is to never be destroyed. You can fail a bunch of times and still survive.
It. Yeah.
You know? And we feel like we're being destroyed sometimes when we're in failure. And so I think the first step is, like, don't panic.
Right.
Don't make emotional decisions when you feel like you're failing.
Boy, that's for sure.
Wait for logic to return so you can analyze it. Do it on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Because it's so noisy when you've got stress and loss. And
yeah, chaos is noisy.
Yeah. And so we want to do something that will make us feel a certain way, when really we just need to wait for all that to pass so that we can make a good decision.
Right.
Daily honing for enjoyment, my car ride. Notice in these times when things are going not how you want, that you are still alive. Breathe.
I like that.
Just one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Once logic returns and you have a plan, panic isn't going to help you. Just one foot in front of the other, and deep breaths, and margin analysis. If you're in trouble, probably it's a money problem.
Could be. Yeah.
And so you need to think about, how have things changed to impact me?
You know, one of my favorite business philosophers is the boxer Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. And he says that everybody has a plan until you punch him in the face. and I know that's maybe kind of funny, but it's also legit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have these perfectly, if you want to see God laugh, show him your plans. And we have these plans, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've driven off into a cornfield and you don't know how to get out.
Right.
And I, you know, I know that you've used mentors and people, and you're a completely sensible guy, and I admire that about you. So what drives Chase Chapman? Like, what's going on inside of you?
You know, these days it's my 2-year-old daughter and my wife, my beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Wanting to make them proud, and when I look back on all the things that I've done, that I can say that I did a good job.
Yeah.
And I did everything I could. What drives success? Being agile as things change. If something worked yesterday and it worked great, that doesn't mean it's going to work today. You have to evaluate all the time what's going on when you're an entrepreneur.
Right.
Your life's balance. You need to have a balanced life before you can have success in business.
You can speak to that.
So, yeah, put a bookmark there.
What? Okay. Well, now we have to interject a funny story, because that's what happens when you have a moment like that. Just recently, one of our people was here working around here at the Elevate co-working space. And she said, "Hey, Cash, do you have a sec for me?" And I said, "I have a lot of sex for you."
Oh, my word.
And then I went, "Oh, no." Like, I wasn't even trying to be funny. And so, hey, things happen. Move on.
Yeah.
But thanks for a moment of levity there.
Get out of here, Freud. So life balance is crucial. If you are just in a disaster in your personal finances and in your marriage, and you're just not quite getting it together, fix that first.
Yeah, I mean
that's your foundation,
because you can't get that back, man. You gotta that's the important stuff, and I'm glad you're talking about that.
To be successful, you have to recognize when to let things go. Some things are not going to be successful. Everything is not 100% guaranteed.
Yeah.
You have to always be moving.
You have trouble saying no to people?
Used to.
Yeah.
Learned.
That was a big one, huh?
It was.
Yeah, that was a big one for me as well, just the ability to say no. Keep on going. I'm liking where you're headed.
Yeah. So another thing that I think about when I think about my business successes, and we have had business successes, not adding a bunch of payments all the time. There's a lot of opportunities for you to add a bunch of overhead and payments, convenience. Really need to watch your overhead. If you can afford it, you can afford it. But don't, in the beginning, add a bunch of payments that you have to overcome before you make money.
Add payments, add stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
It's a hurdle. If you're running, you want a low hurdle, because you're going to be running every day. And so if you can't make it over the hurdle, you're going to be really stressed out. You're not going to feel like this is rewarding. And we've all been there. And so we have all been there. Take care of our stuff. I got a couple other here. To be successful, I think you need to make plans for when there are downtimes in your business, because they will be there.
They're coming.
You're in it, or you're going to be in it. I think you need to diversify. When you're successful, and there are a couple of people that I really wish I could have said this to in my one-to-ones in the past, but you really can't say this to someone. We think that our businesses are always going to be great, and we think that we're all temporarily embarrassed millionaires.
Right.
But we might not be.
Right.
And so when you actually do make a big chunk of money, and I hope that you all get there, you look at your bank account and you're like, "What happened? This is insane. I've never had this before in my life."
Right.
Remember all the times that you didn't have that in your bank account.
Right.
Set up something that's a diversifying financial measure.
Right.
That's what I do with my real estate. You do this all the time with people's lives, financial consulting and advisement, insurance, all the investments that you sell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you need that. You need to talk to somebody about that. You need to have money coming from somewhere else. And the more places, income streams that you've got that are reliable, that don't take all of your time, the more safe and stable you'll be. And then you'll be able to have a foundation for your success with those things, in my belief, I think. And also, God, we have to say, I'm a spiritual person. I love Jesus. And I think that having a spirituality aspect to my life helps the lows not be so low.
I think that's beautiful. And the concept of, you know, live your life like somebody's watching.
Right.
Has been relevant.
Someone who loves you.
Somebody who loves you very much and is watching. And I don't know how the whole thing works. I just, you know, I'm going with what I've got. And I think that's the most salient point here. Our time is running short. Chase, we want to ask you a couple more questions.
Okay.
And we're going to get a tip from you here in just a moment.
Okay.
I want to just ask you one more question about what do you like to read? Because I know you're a listener. You're listening to books. Do you have a couple favorite books you could share with us?
So there's the 4-Hour Work Week. I like a lot of the principles in that. If what I was saying about automation and technology, like I don't do technology for Blue Dog carpet cleaning. Technology supports Blue Dog carpet cleaning. The 4-Hour Work Week talks about when to automate, when not to automate, when to use a virtual assistant, when not to, and things like that. And I think that especially is, I bet when people are listening to this in the future, we'll have like AI assistants and stuff that do things. And it's probably the next logical step. But 4-Hour Work Week is good. Never Split the Difference, a book about negotiating written by an FBI agent.
He was a hostage negotiator, right?
He was a hostage negotiator.
Yeah.
So people would need, like, people would be taken hostage over, where was it? It was like,
I don't remember.
Somewhere dangerous. And people would be taken hostage, and the people would say, hey, we want $40,000 to get this person back. And so this guy would go in and he would research the people and find out about them and find out that really they only need $2,500 for party supplies for the weekend, and they would be pretty satisfied. And so things like that. It's an interesting book, and it really works. I've helped negotiate salaries with it. It's effective.
Cool. And you got one more for us, too.
You know,
4-Hour Work Week, Never Split the Difference.
Speaking of enjoyment, I like to have, this is me, I like to have a lot of hard science fiction in the mix.
There we go.
I've got The Babaverse, just finished it. It's 4 books. It's incredible. The science fiction is unbelievable, but also the main character is an excellent project manager.
Oh, okay.
So you're listening, and if you like science fiction, you're enjoying the story, but also the way he organizes his time and things like that. I really, really like that, and it helps me organize my time. I can take that from that book series. So if you like humor and science fiction with a little bit of project management in the mix, Bobiverse, We Are Legion, We Are Bob is the first book.
We Are Bob. The Bong Group used to be called the Bob Group, Business Owners Breakfast.
Really?
I did not know if you knew that or not, but we are Bob. Well, hey, we are going to wrap it up today. Chase Chapman, thank you, sir, so very much. BlueDogCarpetCleaning.com. You can find Chase on BlueDogCarpetCleaning.com. Blue Dog Carpet Cleaning. Are you guys have a Facebook page as well?
We do.
Are you doing the Instagram?
I believe we have an Instagram.
And are you on MySpace?
Hi, Tom.
All right. We're so glad you're here today. One of my favorite people in the business, just I guess in the world, really, not just business, but Chase Chapman. So let's wrap it up, sir.
All right.
I think that's going to be a wrap for today's show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're thankful for our guests and sponsors and all the people that contribute to make this show relevant. So today, let's go out and be nice to each other. Let's make good decisions for our business and for each other. And more importantly, today, let's forgive somebody who absolutely does not deserve it. Because forgiveness is not about that person. It's about you and the chains we place on ourselves when we haven't forgiven somebody. Forgiveness is about letting yourself be free and moving on to the next step. And that's what Cash Flows is about, moving forward, fire, aim, ready. Friends, this show is about you, and we're glad you're here. Thanks for listening in to Cash Flows.
Have a great day.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.